Are you ready for the word? What is it? Okay. Mark 16. So we'll be fast with that. Mark, the gospel according to Mark. I believe you're here with your Bibles and you're writing Matthew. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, "The E is Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I say, I don't know what Jesus wants me to do. You see, clearly. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Or these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Anyhow, you want to read it. Both are correct. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Or these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Now, when we are reading this, you need to take note of some things that Mark is not one of the 12 disciples. And so, what you're reading is a third-party account. It's like you saying, my grandpa told my dad. So, when you have third-party accounts like that, it wasn't communicated to you. Right? It was told someone, and then you heard from the person, and then you are now saying it. So when you have third party accounts like that, you need to look at where the focus is. Because sometimes they can just be summative. Why would it be summative? Like a summary? Because it was not to them. So they are just going to pick out the main issue that they want to talk about, and then they just go. They just glide over it. Now, observe what Mark did not say. He said, go and preach the gospel. That's what Jesus said. He didn't tell us what is the gospel. He left that blank. Because you can't just say, go and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? I don't know it. And so, what you have in Mark 16, 15 to 20, is a summary of many words, as it were, that Jesus spoke, but Mark will put it as a summative writing. I think this is not the first time we are saying this. Just saying it more. All right, so it's a summative writing. Now, he didn't tell us what the gospel is. Now, someone said, gospel is good news. That's good news. See, any good news was any good news. He said, so just look for someone. So when you see someone, you give them good news. Okay? So that means if I see someone who is looking for a child, I'll tell them, you know what? Jesus is able to give you a baby. And the person goes, oh, woo! Ah, thank you. Ah, I never knew. You honor me this way. And then you meet a student, 200 level. And you say, God will give you a baby. Say, ah, God forbid. Yeah? Oh, suddenly it's no good news again. You say, God forbid. I reject it. But you're sleeping around. If you're sleeping around, what are you expecting? A baby. When you sleep around, they don't give you for. Say, ah, you sleep around so much. Amen. Say, baby. Now, you go to someone who is in need of a job. And you say, God will give you a baby. Say, I have eight children. The issue is not the baby. The issue is I don't have the money to feed them. I don't have money to buy Cerelac for the last one. And so, it shows you that the good news of the baby is not really good news. The gospel is a universal truth. It's a universal good news. It's not good news for some and passive for some. And so, what is the good news? Because to the one who is in school, he's expecting you to say, you see that exam that you know right well. God will turn your D to A only. Right, if. I remember when I was in school. People gather. Exam time. They will pray, you know, fasting and prayer. Serious fasting and prayer. They've written the exam. God, let angels mark my script. Really? You are a cheat. Let normal human beings mark your script. Amen. I've seen Christians pray that God should reveal answer questions to them. Are you not a cheat? Why should God reveal questions? I know I'm spoiling some people's doctrine now. But you said he's the omnipotent. Why can't you just say God should bring a bag of dollars to your house? It's the same thing. You're a thief. He will rescue money from plane crash. And then, the next, you are the CBN. Your street is CBN. They will bring it there. Stop using God for nonsense purpose. Stop using God for selfish gain. And so, what is the gospel? That's the question. So, he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. So, he said, to the student, it will be good grades. To the world, to the poor, it will be financial buoyancy, wealth. But that's not the gospel. So, let's look at Matthew's account. So, we said, Mark put it as almost in a summative account. Because he wasn't there. He was writing for Peter. But look at how Matthew put it in Matthew 10. Matthew Gospel 10.
You there?
So verse 1, it says, and when he had called him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. So what happened from verse 2 to verse 4 is that he listed the disciples. Now the name of the disciples were the first Simon, Peter, and all of that. He listed them. Then look at what Jesus said in verse 5. Then these 12, Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, in the city of Samaritans, enter you not, but go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he gave them what to say. He said, when you preach, this is what you say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the gospel has content. It's not a blank message. I say, this is good news. I don't know what you are experiencing. I don't know what you are facing now. But Jesus is able to meet you at the point of your needs. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. I understand that he makes for good hearing, where you want to say, oh, just God, just joins me. So you go to someone whose business is prostitution, employs ladies to dish them out. Now market has not been moving because you have been in the street preaching the gospel. Then you go to the person and say, I want to preach to you. You know the good news she wants to hear? What do you think the good news is? Their business will move. What's her business? That's the good news she wants to hear. So you say, the gospel is good news. To who? Hallelujah. So you go to her and say, I bring you good news. Say, where are they? The good news cannot be a statement. It is people. Where are they? Are they in the lodge? I have girls. See, good news. Jesus can meet you at the point of your need. Exactly. My need is that there are 16 girls that are going to collect money at the end of the month, and they've not worked. That's not good news. The gospel has its own content. Go and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he gave them a lot of things to say in that Matthew 10. It's in that Matthew 10, you see, where he told them, you are going to take up your cross and follow me. That's not sickness again. That is when you are persecuted, when you are spoken against. And so the gospel has its own news. It has its own content. It gives a general message to everyone. The gospel gives no room for creativity. I like to preach my own gospel this way. There's nothing like that. No, it's a general message for everyone. That's why in Matthew 16, he told them, he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some said you're Elijah, some said you're Jeremiah, some said you're John, or some other prophet. He said, who do you say? Because what you people say must be the same. Who do you say that I am? I can't afford you. I understand that people say, I'm Jeremiah, I'm Elijah, I'm John. You that I sent out, what did you say? Who do you say that I am? Amen. So, the gospel must be universally true. Whatever is not universally true is not God's truth. Look at Luke 24. Are you learning something? Let's take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, he said, it tells you how the gospel is attended to. He said the gospel is preached. Repentance should be preached in his name. Now, the word preach is the word keruso. Now, it's going to make sense shortly. K-E-R-U-S-O. Now, if I say, I'm going to preach, keruso means to say what I have been told. I don't know if you have seen a town crier before. Not in movies. Real life, town crier. NYSC. Oh, where? Let me see. NYSC too. Where? Your former area. Where did you guys stay? You see a tank where? This is Lhasa, yeah? That tank rise in Lhasa. Wow. What did they say? There was somewhere there. All right, so. Now, or a newscaster. Now, you have seen a newscaster before on TV. Let me see your hands. How many of you've listened to the news before? I know this generation, you know, just wait for a star blog to post. It's okay. Now, so let's say a newscaster wants to cast news and wants to say a dollar is now equivalent to, no, don't take this. Now this is how do I call it now? I'm just saying it. A dollar is now equivalent to 200 naira. Amen, right? So a dollar is like is an economic thing. Amen will not solve anything there. Alright, so a dollar is equivalent to 200 naira. We can pray for good governance. Then that will now equal it. But you cannot just pray that a dollar should just be crashed. God loves Americans too. So a dollar is equal to 200 naira. So he's about to announce. You see, today on the news, 7th of April, 2024, as of this morning, Naira Metrics records that a dollar is now equals to 200 naira. That's how you ought to read it. Now imagine a new country that says a dollar is now equals to 200 naira. Now wow, where is this country going to? Let's move to the next news. Now that's not a newscaster, that's an idiot. That's someone that is going to be promoted to a viewer very soon. When they say they promote you from a newscaster to a viewer, you have lost your job. Amen. That's not how to cast the news. How do you cast news? You say what you are given without emotion. That is what you call a preacher. It is to keruso, to speak what you have been told to say without adding personal bias. Some of you understand what preaching means now. Right? So it's the way a news is cast without individual expression. You don't add your own commentary. You don't say, Arsenal are at the top of the Premier League table. And I'm not using that as an example. Factual as out of today. Glory to God. We thank God for that. It's not an example. It's a good example for some other clubs who have spent billions of naira to copy. We have the likes of Chelsea. They won the other day and they were jubilating. You wonder. They went from 11 to 10 and everybody went ballistic. It's okay. We understand how small clubs behave. All right. But as at this morning, as I speak to you, by the grace of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Arsenal at top of the table. Now, so imagine a Chelsea fan is reading the news, even though he read it with much sorrow in his heart. He say, Arsenal are at the top of the Premier League table. Then he goes, it's not like they will last there. Even though I pray to God, I don't this out of the message. God, hear me. Let us last. Just this one trophy. Just this one. Amen. All right. So, there's so much pain if you have been supporting Arsenal. It's okay. So he cannot add an individual, even though he's a Chelsea fan, even though he belongs to the rivals, but he cannot add his own commentary, no matter how much it is paining him. Now I was watching the match yesterday, and when Arsenal scored, now the commentator, or the people that are putting up the stats, is a Tottenham fan. But he had to report that Arsenal just scored the 1,000th goal of the season. So when I was hearing his report, he did it with so much. He just said, Kai Havertz's goal is the 1,000th goal in the Premier League season this year. Uh-huh. He took someone else, when they were now doing the commentary, the general punditry, and said, you did that with much sorrow, right? So you cannot imagine. You know, but your job requires you to cast the news without your bias. That is what preaching is. Preaching of the gospel is not me. This is the way I like preaching. I like preaching in song. There's nothing like that. So, you want to go say, the Lord said, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. See, that's what God sent me to be doing, to be singing the gospel. No. Whatever way one person casts the news is the way we all cast the news. It is the gospel. Is it making sense? All right. It gives no room for creativity. It gives no room for individual expressions. So, say, repentance. Now look at where the conversation started from in verse 44. Before he said repentance should be preached. Because we have to know what is repentance. Alright? In verse 44, he said, and he said unto them, that's Jesus, these are the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. Before that, look at in verse 25. The background is, Jesus had risen from the dead. His disciples were going on their road to Emmaus. They were sad. You understand? When you have seen someone for 3.5 years, in quotes, he has preached, he has worked miracles, he has healed the sick, he has raised the dead. You saw him raise Lazarus in John 11. Different things have happened. Then the person was killed. You know, if I was the one, as they were arresting Jesus, I would just be doing that. I mean, there was a time we wanted to pay tax. This man did not have money. He told us to go into the river and bring money from the mouth of the fish. And we found money. There was a time like that I went to preach. There was no food. He just said, who has food? Who has food? Just said casually. And there was one boy like that, that his lunch was there. And he said, you should bring his lunch. And the lunch fed everybody. And we still had 12 bacteria remaining. There was a time like that, they wanted to catch him. And they didn't even know when he disappeared. There was a time like that. He went for one wedding. As Nutrisi finished. Wine finished in the wedding. You know what he just said? He said, they should pour water. They should start serving. That was the best wine we all took. Then you're arresting him. Waste your time. That's what, yeah? Just say, you're arresting down. Beg, I'll go and sleep. I have better things to pray for. They were shocked. He was arrested. First day, they saw them dragging him like generator. They were dragging him everywhere. They saw him from Herod to Pilate.
he has still not rescued himself. He's just enjoying these things. He will soon disappear. Second day, they saw them beating him. 39 stripes. And he was crying. Okay, is the drama not enough? Just do it now. You know, they have all run away. Do it now. Abi, is he not the same person? Is Jesus now? I can see the mark, tribal mark. It's Jesus. Then you are leading him to the cross. They say, oh, this is where he wants to just shame everybody. As he just gets to the cross like this, you just put fire. Then they nailed him to the cross. You will get down now. Then he pierced the side. He confirmed he was dead. He gave up the ghost. You know, the one that will pay them is when they heard your hand I come in my spirit. He said, Where are you going to? where are you going to? Which spirit? And then he died. They still did not believe until he was buried. Then they all went back to their jobs. They started fishing. You two, will you not go back to the... If you're a pharmacist, will you not go back to the pharmacy? Then they were discussing. They were sad. Then Jesus came among them. And he asked a question. They didn't recognize him. He was so mad. Is that that? Not mad. Not M-A-D. M-A-R-R-E-D. Disfigured. If you two, if you are in hell for 3 days, and you were beaten by angry Chelsea fans, I don't think you will be the same. If Chelsea fans catch bully now, they will crucify him and he will not rise the third day. You know? And they could not recognize, or they were not close disciples, meaning they were far. Maybe when 500 people, they were at the back. And they were discussing. And he just said, why are you sad? What kind of a conversation are you having? And he said, it's about Jesus. You're talking to Jesus about Jesus. He said, a prophet mighty in word and in deed. And we thought he was the one that would redeem Israel. But they have taken him. They've killed him. He said, is that why you are sad? He said, So what now? What will now happen? Jesus recognized them that they were his disciples. He said, so what will now happen? He said, nothing will happen now. He had told them that Christ will rise from the dead. He had taught them before. But guess what? Sometimes when the rubber hits the road and situations are difficult, sometimes we forget. And we ought not to forget God's word. Not in any circumstance. So he kept asking them. He kept probing them. So what will now happen? Now that he has been killed. Next. He said, there's no next now. He has died now. He said, when he died, what will now? We don't understand you, this man. There's nothing that will happen. Then in verse 25, he had to respond to them. He said, oh fools. Look at your Bible. Oh fools and slow of hearts. That's all day and the dinner in the same breath. Oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. Luke 24, 25. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Are you there? Are you learning something? Oh fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things. And what? Then verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning, meaning that Jesus was about to preach and he did not say, see my hand now, am I not the one? I've risen. No. He still taught them from the word of God. That's Caruso. You don't teach with an individual expression, even when you have the nail pierced hands. No. He still taught them from the Bible. That's how the gospel is preached. The gospel is not preached with experiences. It's not about a cultist that used to be a cultist and then he's no longer a cultist. Then I say, if you want to give your life to Christ, come out. That's not how the gospel. That's a very good thing. That's a good testimony. That's good for viewing. That's cute. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is in the word of God. It's a message. It's a specific message. It has nothing to do with our experiences. It has nothing to do with our creativity. It has nothing to do with expressions of art. It has to do with the content of the gospel. Does that make sense? So, look at verse 32. Verse 31, I say, and their eyes were opened. They had no guilt. D-I-A-N-O-G-I-O. Explain that later. And they knew him. And he vanished, verse 31. And he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32 says, and they said to one another, did our heart not burn within us while he spoke to us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? Did our heart not burn within us? Look at verse 44. So now that they have known him, he now said unto them, these are the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the psalm. Meaning he's still teaching from the word of God. He's still teaching. He's still not saying, So now that I'm here. No. He's still pointing them to the prophets. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, he opened their understanding. The word understanding there is the word nous. N-O-U-S. I'm going somewhere. N-O-U-S. He opened their mind. He opened their mind. Have someone explained something to you before? And you just say, I see. Oh, I understand what you're saying now. Is it making sense? So he opened their mind. He opened their understanding that they might understand Sunemi. S-U-N-E-I-M-I. Now, let me explain. S-U-N-E-I-M-I. Now, he opened their nose that they can Sunemi. Sunemi means to put things together. To put things together. Now, he opened their mind so that they can now put things together. What are they going to put together? From Genesis, from Moses and the prophet. They now say, we now see the Christ. We now see that, he's meant to die. And he's meant to rise from the dead for our sins. Is it making sense? So he opened their understanding. How did he do it? With his experience or with the word? How did he do it? With his experience or with creativity? With the word. Just wanted to test you. I thought someone said, with creativity. So one taught you by it. Alright? So he opened the understanding that he might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, it is written that be of Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's what they now understand. And that repentance, what repentance? Metanoia. Meta means to change, where you have metamorphosis. Metanoia. Noia is N-O-I-A. It's taken from that nous. Listen, this thing does not need to confuse you. We said nous is what? Mind. To understand, right? He opened their understanding, their mind. Nous. Nous is where noia is taken from. N-O-I-A. Now, when I say metanoia, if meta is change, and nous is mind, what will now be metanoia? M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. A change of my mindset. So what we call repentance is not that I'm just crying. My tears ought to be a reflection of my change of perception. My tears or my cry or my whatever rolling on the floor ought to be that, it's because my heart is changed now. So because you can think that repentance means, I used to do it before. Then I don't do it again. Sometimes you used to do it before and you're still doing it. But your mind is changed though. The acts might not have changed, but you're repented. Eventually it's going to change. Everything is going to change. But the true repentance is in the act. I have always seen church or Jesus as maybe a meal ticket. When I need a job, I'll just go to God. I will cry. He'll give me a job. Abi, Sefini. When I need rent, I'll go to God. If you can just do this one for me, I'll serve you. And then somehow, someone gives you and say, yes, till next year. So I've seen Jesus as a meal ticket, but now someone has preached to me. I've seen the light. I've seen the plan of God for my life. I will now change my heart. So the change of my heart will now be what? I will stop seeing Jesus as a what? As a meal ticket. Is it making sense? So repentance. So what will be preached? A change of what? Heart. Repentance and remission of sins. So what heart are we changing? What are we changing about their heart? About sin. About the remission of sin. About how Jesus has taken care of sin. So repentance and remission, that is the remission of sins, will be preached in his name. Is it making sense now? Come on, is it making sense? So the gospel has its own content. Has its own content. Let me say this. Do you know that creative arts, music, arts generally preceded Jesus, came before Jesus? They already had feasts, entertainment. Herod had a feast where the woman demanded the head of John. Right? Why? Because the daughter wants something in the entertainment. So, entertainment and all of those preceded Jesus. But observe that the entire ministry of Jesus, he never used entertainment. Even though it was a common means of passing across your message, but he never used it. He never said, Peter, you come and act Abraham. And then, Judas, you act Lazarus. He never did. Do I have anything against drama? No. I don't have anything against drama. I don't have anything against movies. How big you want to call it Christian movies? I don't have anything against it. I watch Mount Zion. I love them. But is that the primary way to communicate the gospel? No. God never told us to act it. He told us to preach it. He didn't tell us, so you will not act like eternal life. Mm-mm.
you will preach eternal life. So the gospel is meant to be preached. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So the gospel is, there's no emotional appeal to the word of God. Go to Matthew 28. Are you learning something? He said, in our own church, this is how we believe that the gospel should be preached. There's nothing like this how we believe. It's either you believe God's word or you don't believe God's word. It's either you're acting according to God's word or you're not acting to God's word. There's nothing like, this is what the Spirit told me. Then he told you something else. No. Then it's either two of us don't have the Holy Spirit or one of us is not listening. He said, God told me that me, I'm not meant to be preaching. I've seen people tell me that before. I'm not meant to be going to the street, all those street things, that I'm sent to engineers. Now, this is where we don't understand. Can someone be sent to a specific group? Yes. But underlying that assignment is that you are sent to everyone. So, you must do the basic assignment and now follow on the secondary assignment. You cannot say, God sent me to children. He didn't send you to children. He sent you to everyone. But you can now have more emphasis of your ministry on children while you are still remembering that you are sent to, we are all sent to everyone. You say, God has just told me, why are you not sent to madmen? Because I have not preached anybody, only madman. No. I'm trying to look for an illustration to back up what I'm saying, as it were. Back up, I don't like that word. Even an illustration to portray what I'm saying. I can't find anyone. So, we all have the same assignment. Say, I am called. I thought you say with joy. You know, it's joy to serve the Lord. Amen. Yeah. To represent Jesus on the earth. That's a big deal. Amen. That's a big deal. Say, it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, when you go to someone and say, God sent me to you. It's not a big deal. I mean, he has not seen God before. He has not heard God before. And then you go and say, God sent me to you. To say what? To say what? I remember the time I had a message for someone. I'm Bariga, and he was so specific, and all of that. And I took it back there. I went to him. This is what God will have you do. And I was talking to him, and I was enjoying myself really because of the. He had this dramatic expression on his face, and it was so sweet to watch. So he was like, "Ah, God." When before he started believing, I just told him some things. When I told him some things about four things about himself and his family, basically there was something happening with his sister. So I told him and everything. So now, are you going to listen to what God has to say? When I was done, I just said, he said, what's your name? I look at him like, so that he can take and tell people that he saw Jesus. Till he sees me on Facebook. Jesus is my religion. He said, what's your name? I remember what Manuel, the father of Samson, asked the angel, what's your name? And he said, I'm wonderful. I want to say, I am wonderful. I am that I am. I said, I might be going through more. The drama might be going through. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name, sir? I was going to look at. I stopped back. She just wants to stop back. Maybe I'm meant to disappear. I stopped back. I climbed back. I looked back. He was just shocked. He was staying in one place. It's a privilege to stand in the name of Jesus. So I'm called to serve the Lord, to preach his word with boldness. With boldness. And many will turn to Jesus because of me. Many will turn to Jesus. Many will receive eternal life because I'm here. I'll live my life for Jesus. The devil has nothing on me. The darkness has nothing on me. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Learn something. Look at Matthew's account. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. This is after his resurrection. Saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, the word all nations is ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. It means different kinds of people. Go and teach all nations. The word teach is matituo. You're familiar with that. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. It means to disciple them. Teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can we read verse 20 together, everybody? And teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. So what are they going to teach all nations? Verse 20. The things he has, meaning that regardless of the different kind of people, you are going to teach the same thing. The things he commanded. Whether you meet someone who is educated in the former education is different. It's not just only school.
You say, I went to school. I went to primary school, secondary school, polytechnic, college education, or university, whatever tertiary institution. Say, I'm educated. That's not the person who finished primary school and went to learn tailoring and is very skilled at it. He's educated in tailoring. You are not. The one who didn't even go to primary school, but know so much and can repair a car. You know what it takes to repair a car? With whatever education I have, whatever car spoils, we are both going to be looking at it. Amen. But I'm also studying civil engineering. If house crash now, I don't know if he can. He has left the field for a while. Can you still resurrect the house? He said, the beams and columns. I called him to my office one day. He was telling me, so the columns, I know that I called fake. I wanted to embarrass him. I had it in my heart. I have done my will now. Let me do God's will. So, you know, but he's educated in that area. But if a car spoils now, even though he's an engineer, or of course not that kind of engineer, we are both going to be looking at the express, especially him. You get what I'm saying? So education is different. But Jesus is saying, no matter who you meet, be it a nurse or the patient, you preach the same gospel. What I told you is what you tell them. You don't fabricate something else. You don't say, because it's a poor man that I met. Poor in the natural, meaning he cannot afford probably the basic human needs, food, shelter, and what? Clothing. Oh, depending on, and I tell you, Jesus has something for you. He told me to tell you that even though a bag of rice is 82,000 now, for you tomorrow, for you alone, you'll make it 2,000. Amen. Gospel was millennium. Then, as you are going to the next shop, you meet someone who is looking for a job. And he said, I know you don't need a bag of rice. I know what you need. The Lord asked me to tell you, stop lying against the Lord. Which the Lord? Which Lord? He said, teaching them to observe what commanded you. He said, teach them to observe according to their situation. He didn't say, teach them and instruct them according to their circumstances and their life. No, he said, what I told you to tell them is what you tell them, regardless of who you meet. So the gospel the poor is going to reach here is what the rich is going to hear. Stop telling the poor, let God bless you. Then you tell the rich, let God give you peace. The poor does not need peace, have he? He has peace all around me. No. Say it's the same gospel. He's the same God with the same story. Give me the song. Yesterday, beyond today, forever he will still remain. He's the same God. Sing loud. With the same story, from glory to glory we will. Again, he's the same God. With the same story. Yesterday, beyond today, and you're the same God. With the same story, from glory to glory we will. So say same story. Say same story. Same story. What you tell the undergraduate is what you tell the postgraduate. Is what you tell the one that is non-graduate. The same story of his eternal salvation, of his outstretched hand that saves. And so Matthew 28, he says, teach all nations the same thing. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. They're teaching them, didasco. Verse 20, didasco. Teaching them a kind of information, a specific way of putting it. You don't teach for that much by drawing. You teach it with numbers, sometimes letters. The mathematics started becoming complicated when they started introducing letters and alphabets. Normally, 1 plus 1, 2. 2 plus 2, 4. Which one is now 2a plus 2b plus 2c plus x? Is that one not English? You know? So the way you teach mathematics is with numbers and letters, not with drawing. Okay, I know they draw some curve, divide the s, the k, the u, whatever you are doing. But there's a specific way to teach things. Man, you want to teach CRS? Start writing 2x plus 2y. That's not CRS again. That's CR something else. CR 7. Amen. Didasco. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to do what I have done. Teaching them to say what I have said. So the church is not situational. The gospel is not situational. The gospel is not about a country's problem.
See, right now in Nigeria, what we need, the kind of gospel we need, is the gospel that brings people joy. So, in the United Kingdom, what gospel do they need? The one that brings them long suffering. You're kidding. The gospel is the same everywhere to everyone. I'm saying this because there's a propensity and there's a chance that you hear someone say, no, the gospel is different to all of us. No, it's the same good news. You don't change it. You caruso it. You preach it. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right. So the gospel is clear. Jesus never used any other mode of communication, be it creative art, music, or anything. He preached the gospel. He never asked us to use all those means to. Go back to Mark 16. Are you in church this morning? Mark 16, verse 15. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So now, we understand what the gospel is. It is the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is the repentance and remission of sins, right? It is what the prophet said in Luke 24, 27. Abi? It is what Jesus said in Luke 24, 44. It is Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6. We see what the gospel is now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remission of sins. Now I say, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. How many of you are saved in this place this morning? Come on. So I'm saved. I am saved and I'm redeemed. I am saved eternally. There's no fear. You know this song? There's no fear. Jesus. When he rose, I rose with him. There's no fear. There's no fear. I am saved and I'm redeemed. Come on. I thought you sing with some. And I am saved eternally. There's no fear, yeah. There's no fear. Jesus died. Jesus died and he rose again. When he rose, I rose with him. There's no fear. You believe that? When he rose, I rose with him. We release some songs. You know, these are our psalms. Hallelujah. We release some songs. We bless the body of Christ. Amen. Put it on Spotify and all of that. We bless the body of Christ. We give everybody a taste of some things. Hallelujah. I'm saved. So whosoever believes is saved. Stop having that fear of if the trumpet blow, on which key? If the trumpet blow, will I fly? You fly. If there's anything like flying, you fly. Amen. If there's anything like disappearing, you disappear. May you not disappear. I don't want you to disappear because but whatever it is that people that have eternal life experience, you experience it because you have eternal life. It's not a confession. There's just something at the back of even when you have been preaching it for years. It says, I'm saved. Loruko Jesu. You are saved. There's no need for Loruko Jesu. It's irreversible. Jesus said, there is no man that can pluck them out of my hands. Try it. I dare you. He said, the one my father has given to me. You see, they are here. No man can pluck them out. The devil can try. But you have eternal life. Eternal life means it's forever. If it can stop, it's not eternal. Then what's eternal about eternal life? If it can stop. If it can be reversed. No. The moment you have eternal life, you have eternal life. I've got eternal life. The new creation is the Father's word, full of his glory. We have been held, joined with the Lord. This union is inseparable. I am the one that Christ died. I'm bold to say I am the one that Christ died. Daddy, that we are. Oh yes, I am. Oh yes, I am the Father. I am the one. I am the one. That Christ died for. Oh yes, I am. No matter what the devil tells me, I'm bold to say I am the one that Christ died. Oh yes, I am. Oh yes, I am. You know, Jesus died for me. What kind of good news is that? Jesus died for me. He took my sins. That's what it means. That's what we announce. That's what we tell the world. It's not about financial status. There are people who get rich without the name of Jesus. A lot of people do.
Check the four beliefs. A lot of them don't even believe in the Lord. It doesn't take Jesus to be rich. It doesn't take Jesus to be the smartest guy in class. It doesn't. In my own class, there were like a few pastors. And none of us were the best graduating students. Including me, your pastor. I was not the best graduating student. Amen? Me, I didn't even walk towards it. There's no point. My own is, if you tell me that the cutoff mark is 60, I'll help you get 65. And if you shift to 90, I can bet you I'll get 92. Just tell me what the cutoff is to pass. Hallelujah. My dad used to tell me that if I was just serious and I took this thing serious, I said, why? They said the pass is 70. Why should I go and get 90? Is that a waste of mark? Don't be like me. Amen. I've always been a businessman. I don't know what is school thing. If you are in the olden days, I'm very sure the kind of shop I will have. Yeah? Hallelujah. And I'm still going to have shop. Shop, I didn't say supermarket. Plenty shop. At 50,000 shop. Amen. Where are we? I am the one Christ died for. That is the news. That is the good news. He took my sins. He took my sins. And he gave me his righteousness. He took my sins. And he gave me his righteousness. So now I am not condemned. I am not condemned. And I will never perish. I have eternal life. Hallelujah. That is the gospel. So, I said you turn to Mark 16, right? So he said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Just like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. But have what? Verse 17 says, God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Uh-huh. Eh? So, why is a man condemned? Because he does not believe. Believe what? I want to hear. Believe what? The gospel. What's gospel? Why are you talking like Mark? Believe in what Jesus has done concerning sins for humanity. Does that make sense? I believe. You know me, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Son of God. I believe in Jesus, the Father in the flesh. I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the Word of God. I believe in Jesus, the Father in the flesh. You believe? You believe? That means you're saved. That means you're saved, yeah. So whosoever believes and is baptized saved, whosoever believes not is damned. Can we read verse 17 now? And these signs, this is where we're going to, shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. We have explained serpents. Serpent refers to the work of the devil. You see that in Luke 10. We've explained that over and over again. They'll take up serpents. I saw one video like that. One pastor was passing a snake. The Bible said we take up serpents. The funny thing is that the snake did not bite anybody. It went through the congregation of over 80 people. They're all holding it. The snake not doing it. And it reached the pastor. Probably was targeting the pastor. They'd be using him. Specimen A. Biology. Specimen A. Okay. Serpent, you take up serpent. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean you go inside the zoo. There was a man like that. He said Daniel went inside lion's den. He went to UI zoo. The funny thing is that when he entered the first time, lion not do anything. The way God works, the press says, he said, I can do it again. Surely. It's not showing God's power again. He's showing pride and ego. He entered. He came out. He should be running home. You have taken pictures. Go and be doing testimony. You can start crusade. Whatever you want to do with it. He said, you think it's fake? You think it's fake? Let me do it again. The lion did not wait. Pounced on him immediately. You're laughing. It was a serious, 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 gory sin. I was not there. I was told. Third party account. So when I said serious, 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 don't believe me. But he died. What can be more serious? Hallelujah. When he said you take up serpent, you take up the works of the enemy. That's what you find out in Luke 10. Alright. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not by any means hurt them. So after then, verse 19. Can we verse 19 and 20 together, everybody? Uh-huh. Oh, that's not everybody. That's not everybody. I'll wait for you. Mark 16, verse 19 and 20. Want to go? So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming his word with signs. So look at that. He said he sat at the right hand of God. Now when we say, we've explained right hand of God before. I think we have a teaching on that, the right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? Where is the right hand of God? The right hand does not mean right and left. Oh. Right hand is the hand of power. It's the position of authority. So when you say this person is my right hand, it doesn't mean that he's the one I used to eat ever. Right hand means if you don't see me, he can stand in my stead. Is it making sense? So when you say the right hand of God is the hand of power. You hear the prophet say he has rescued Israel with his mighty hand, with his right hand, with his hand of righteousness. Uh-huh. So again, we say Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. That's talking about authority, not geographical. Is it making sense? We have a teaching on it. The right hand of God, that's statue. I think we just be naming things directly, so that when we are looking for it, because now things are getting lost. We don't know which title again now. The right hand of God, we taught it about 6-7 sessions. Go and listen to it. Beautiful teacher. Even though there are other teachers I want to listen to this week. Alright. So, he said, the right hand of God, what is the right hand of God? The hand of his power. How do we know where his power is? They went forth, verse 20. Look at that. And they preached everywhere. Don't forget, preached, Caruso. That is, they announced the same thing. The same way. The same content. The Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs. What are the signs? He mentioned the signs in verse 17. With healings, with tongues, was confirming the preaching of God's word with signs. So that means there's a way God's word is preached. God's word is preached with signs. It's preached with the demonstration of the Spirit. God's word is not just words. The gospel is not just words. It has signs to it. And listen up very well. The signs of the gospel is not for false prophets. We are not part of a generation who just think we just sing you song and Bethel music and feel good about ourselves and go back to bed. And say, you know what? Don't let us talk about the devil. Let the sleeping dog lie. No. The devil is part of the people you are meant to confront. We're not part of a generation who cannot lay hands on the sick. You see, Christians scared to face sicknesses. What kind of Christian is that? He says, the Lord walking with them is walking with me. The Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs. Say, my gospel, as I preach, is followed up with signs and wonders. With signs and wonders. And the diverse gifts of the Spirit. Oh yes, I believe. I receive much more healings. I receive much more clarity. I receive much more demonstration of what God can do. So, he says, the gospel is preached with signs. Look at Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about going to the temple, asked them for money. And Peter fastened his eyes unto him, upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he didn't stop there looking at him. He said, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. Amen. Amen. This is us. Oh, this is us, man. This is us. Hallelujah. We went to pray. But, you know, the signs don't leave the believer. Because the Spirit is always with us. In us. For us. Through us. He went to say, give us money. Give us money. Peter said, there's something more than money. You are lame. You're asking for money. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The gospel is accompanied with signs. With signs. You're a student on campus. Have you not taken opportunity to heal the sick? When I was on campus, I did a lot of that. A lot. There was this man, the prophet, I think I was discussing with you that day. He was the head of the Potters. I don't know if he's still there. That man that used to have a escudo, Mr. Olabi, in the boys' hostel, at Lut. And he's very strict and all of that. You know, I ministered to his son. He was sick, he was terribly sick.
I didn't know he was even the son of the. He met me there and all that. I said, "Are you a student here?" I said, "Yes," and all that. You know, since that time, the next session, I didn't have hostel. I was cutting. The man would see me like this. He said, let him go. Very strict man. Strict man. People fear him. You know what I'm talking about now. People fear him. When, if you see him as a scutter, you run back to class. You don't want to see him that day again. I'll just go. I said, "You want your son to go back?" I just walk past and say, "Good afternoon, sir." He said, "Ah, pastor, if they're sick, I'll go from room to room preaching the gospel. If you're sick, I'm not going to give you paracetamol. I'm going to lay my hands on you." That's what Jesus asked us to do. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus asked us to do. What kind of Christian are you? Yeah, my roommate is shaking. I know what works actually. If you mix Panadol with Panasharp, are you a pharmacist? You are a minister of God's power. I thought you said that. These hands are healing hands. In the name of Jesus. These hands, they restore health. In the name of Jesus. You know, I'm an example of a proper believer. In the miraculous. Uh-huh. Miracles are not for pastors. They are for every believer. Every Christian. These signs shall follow them that. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that. These signs shall follow pastors. Oh, if you follow those that have prayed a lot. Oh, if you follow those. Oh, those are very close to pastor. That's what we follow. Oh, those that believe. Do you believe? You believe. If you believe, then they are yours. The gifts are yours. The gifts are yours. Healings and miracles, they are yours. 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 God's power is at work in you and towards you. He's at work in you and towards you. Yeah. Peter said, "Look on us. Look on us. Look on us." The gospel is not empty. It's not empty. He said, "Look on us." He said, "Rise up and walk." And he took him by the hands. Took him by the hands. Bible says, and his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Oh, we receive much more testimonies like that. Oh, we receive much more testimonies like that. So the gospel is characterized with power. With power. That's how the gospel is preached. We saw it in Acts 8. When Philip went to Damascus. When Philip went to Damascus. And he preached. Bible says, and the whole city was filled with joy. You know, receive that. Well, we preach and the whole community is saved. Oh, glory to God. Well, you know, you go preach to a place, everybody, market women, oh, landlord, oh, tenant, oh, everybody are outside and lifting their hands and praising the name of Jesus. You know, we that's what we'll see in the coming days. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. It's powerful. Eh? We receive the cloud of glory in all its thickness. The cloud of glory, the mighty hand of God. Yes, we see massive demonstrations. Of the Holy Ghost. Massive demonstrations. Massive demonstrations. Massive demonstrations. In the name of Jesus. Philip went to preach in Damascus. And the entire city was saved. Woo! With joy. But power characterizes. The Bible says, they were speaking in tongues. Everybody laid hands on. So much that Simon the sorcerer came. And he said, what's happening? What's going on? He said, give me this power too. So that when I lay my hands on people too, they can also do this edible santarabaye. Peter said, if it was Philip that said it to, maybe it would have been good. But he met Peter. He said, your money perish with you. Meaning that money will perish with you, but you too. Because the gospel is characterized with power. Are you there? Say the gospel. That's what I'm saying. Say the gospel. Say our gospel. As we preach and teach, is characterized with the power of God. Can we just pray a bit? It's characterized with the power of God. It's characterized with the power of God. It's characterized with the power of God. We don't speak empty words. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you learning something? So we need to, like Paul told Timothy, we need to stir up the gift of God. We need to stir it up. Start closing soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom. Play for me as a close. Declaring unto you the testimony of our God. Can we read verse 2 to 4 together, everybody? I want you to read it and let it make sense to you. Want to go? For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in more trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of powers. Say, my preaching and my teaching and not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not a motivational speaker. You know, the gospel in my mouth does not sound like advice. You know, some people are preaching. Gospel sound like advice. They say, and maybe you can take it or not. No. It comes with power. It comes with power. When I say, be healed. You know, let me give you an example. I went to preach somewhere. I must have mentioned it. I went to preach somewhere. I think I was about 21, 22. That's over a decade now. And I was teaching the woman. And the neighbors were just saying nonsense around. I don't know what they were saying. But they were mocking. They were mocking both me and the woman. This one is listening and all that. And I saw them. And I called one of them. There were two. I called one of them. And I told her a lot of things about her. I already was seeing it as I was preaching to the other woman. So I told her everything. Then the other woman ran. I said, you want to hear yours? If you want to preach to us? Yeah. So they all sat down. Amen? That's how the gospel is preached. We are not part of those who are fearful. Amen. We are not part of those who are, how can the living God send you a message and you are scared of man? We have a message of God, from God. We don't fear man. We have a mandate from God. We don't fear man. Amen. God has sent you. He has put you in that place for a reason. On that street for a reason. In that school for a reason. So that men can change. So that lives can be changed. So that darkness can go. And the light of God can reign supreme. What are you doing about it? Right where you're seated is the deposit of spirit power. Right there where you're seated. Whether you believe or not. Whether you choose to accept it or not. Right where you're seated, the Holy Ghost is working. Right here where you're seated, you can lay your hands on the sick right there where you are seated, and the sick will be healed. You, while you are seated there. He said, the signs shall follow those that have believed in Jesus. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So say, Pastor, why have I not been doing it? Because you've not been doing it. Paul said, when I came in demonstration of the Spirit. Meaning it's something you do intentionally. Don't say, let the Holy Ghost just use me how he wants. No, you are the one that will use the power of the Holy Ghost how you want. God's ability is enough to see us heal thousands of sick people. Let me say it again. To see us raise the dead. To see us cure madness. To see us turn around impossible situations. Said, my preaching and teaching was not with the enticing words of it's not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not trying to cajole you. I'm not trying to draw you in. I'm not trying to express creativity. We don't do that here. He said, it is in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. So the question is, what can the Holy Ghost do? What can the Holy Ghost demonstrate? He says, it's with us. How is the gospel preached? We say the same things and we do the same things. The signs will follow them that believe. As they preach, they will cast out devils. You know, in the coming days, we'll cast out devils. I'm not praying. I'm telling you what will happen. We'll cast out devils. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People who have been under the bondage of Satan for years. Who have been oppressed. Remember, there was a time we had an outreach like that. And there was a woman who had been bedridden. Remember? Who had been bedridden for years. In the house. And we got there. She walked out. That's what we do. We make Satan useless. And the people that he thinks he has put under bondage, we say no. And we say, darkness will shine. Darkness will go and the light will shine. Darkness will go and the light will shine. Darkness will go and the light will shine. Light everywhere. Eh? Eh? People who think the devil has had them. And you know, this sickness is something they will live with forever. No. In the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's power in our message. There's power. There's power. You know what Paul said in Romans 1? Verse 16 and 17. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He said, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God. In that message, where you just preach casually, where you just say casually, just come to church. He says, there's a power you're not looking at. There are situations you are not experiencing because you have not exposed yourself to them. The gospel has power. The Bible is full of God's power. The Bible is full of stories of the miraculous. If you remove miracles from the Bible, you probably will not have up to 50 pages left. If you remove supernatural events and supernatural occurrences from the Bible, you will not have up to 50 pages left. The Bible is full of the supernatural. How can you as a believer, you live all your life and you've not eaten sick? What's happening? You've not given someone a word of knowledge.
You've not given someone a word and give them clarity about their lives. And say, this is what God is saying to you. Then something needs to change. Something needs to change. We need to step in into that river. We need to step in and start stirring the pool. Start stirring the pool. Start stirring the pool. Amen. Start stirring. Stir up the gift. The Bible is full of, it's full of the miraculous. It's full of it. It's full of it. Sarah was 99. Abraham was 99. And God said to Sarah, you will carry a child next year. Sarah is about 90. The Bible records, I showed you on Wednesday. Our hormones were gone. She was not feeling how every woman will feel. I showed you on Wednesday, right? Everything was gone. He said, you have a child. Sarah laughed. God said exactly what I wanted you to do. Because those who meet you next year too will laugh with you. The Bible is full of the miraculous. The miraculous. Balaam was going to go and curse God's people. And God made a donkey stop. And the donkey started talking. If you tell someone this today, I said, a donkey spoke to me that I should go on outreach. My dog at home spoke to me. You know, I said, all this Pentecostal. How is it a dog spoke to you? What is in the Bible? A donkey spoke to Balaam. Have you forgotten Moses? Moses said, who will I tell Pharaoh? Who will I tell Pharaoh that this is men that sent me? Tell him I am. You are what? Just tell him I am. He will understand. If he doesn't understand, I will show him. Pharaoh said, how will I know? What's special about your God? God told Moses, tell Aaron to drop his rod. He dropped the rod. The rod became a serpent. Someone tells you, I just dropped my pen. And my pen became a serpent. Your pen. He said, the pen became a serpent. The rod became a serpent. Pharaoh said, we can do this one too. You call the magicians. They drop their own rod. Became serpent. But God's power is greater. Aaron's rod. Aaron's serpent swallowed everything. They didn't go. They came with rods. They didn't go back with the rods. Amen. The Bible is full of weird stuff. Weird stuff. Yeah. How can a rod become serpent? Like, I don't understand. Rod become serpent. Is that possible? Is that possible? What's happening? What's happening? We know we expose ourselves to weird stuff. Amen. We start seeing weird stuff. Elijah outran a chariot. If someone tells you, I outran a power bike. You say, I understand you're a believer. I understand you have power of God. But power bike. Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, he outran the chariot of Ahab. Weird stuff. I believe in the 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 weird stuff. And experience it. This week, I'm beyond. As we go in our crusades and outreaches, oh, the power of God is working. Oh, the power of God is working. Are you sleeping? The power of God is working. Stir up your faith. And let condemnation not step in your heart. Sometimes we don't minister the things of the Spirit because we feel condemned in our hearts. Pastor, if you know me very well, how can you say I should lay my hands on the sick? I mean that you should be laying hands on. No. I told you last week, your ministry and your experiences are different. Let me say this. Let me tell you how different it is. A man can be hospitalized, taking drip. Eh? Taking drip with one hand, and he's laying hands on the sick with another hand, and the sick will be healed. Because the ministry of healing and his experiences are not the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are not the same. Can you imagine the weird thing? That's some weird stuff. He's taking drip. And he has to go from the bed to partial weight bearing. And non-weight bearing. And he's laying hands on the sick with the other one. He's admitted for typhoid. But he's laying hands on someone that has cancer. Timothy had issues with his stomach. Paul said, Timothy, use wine to cure that stomach infirmity. Then in the same breath, he said, but you will stir up the gift of God. You are going to lay hands on the sick. You are going to raise the dead. You are going to speak in tongues. You are going to disciple men with the power of God. In the same breath. How can he be? He's using wine for his own. But he's saying you are going to stir up the gift of healing. Because the experience and the ministry are different. We minister with power. Rise on your feet. We minister with power. We minister with power. We minister with power. We are bold. We are bold. We are going to pray for ourselves in Acts chapter 4. Turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Verse 29. It says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to your servants that with boldness they may speak your word. That's the first, that we speak God's word with boldness, right? Then verse 30 says, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus.
We pray for ourselves as we prepare for our outreaches. Now, this is not just about the crusades that we're having, the outdoor crusades. It's also about our outreaches. Ensure your there's no outreach day that passes by without the demonstration of the Spirit. The gospel ought to be attended to with power. Are you listening to me? Ensure you don't just go on outreach and come back. No. Ensure there's a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? We're going to be praying that we preach the God's word with boldness, and that healing, signs and wonders will be accompany our teaching. Are you ready to pray? Now, when you see prayer in the Bible and people are praying for something, it means that that thing will not happen if you don't pray. Is it making sense? So when Paul says, I pray for you that the eyes of understanding be enlightened, it means it's not going to happen if you don't pray. I remember some years ago, we went for one outreach. Like, someone wrote on Facebook, it was not in Glorious Our Church, someone wrote on Facebook that, I think it was at Tekpe, it was an outreach at Tekpe. I think about 23 blind eyes were opened. Over 600 people were healed. So it was put on Facebook by the pastor that led us there. And someone now wrote, comment under it. These are our norms. These are norms. And what the person did not know is that the number of vigils we had for that meeting, oh my God, oh my God, the number of hours that we prayed is done by prayer. Is that clear? We're going to pray that we'll preach God's word with boldness, and that our preaching is accompanied with signs and wonders. What are signs? Healing, miracles, casting out of devils, tongues. Amen. We'll take up the work of the devil and we'll use less. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. We are ministers of the power of God. We minister the power of God with ease. I look to the hills where my help comes from. No sickness we survive this hour, no disease save the name of the Lord. In every infirmity will be gone with the wind. We look to the hills where our help comes from. No sickness we survive the hour, and no disease we stand the name of the Lord. And no infirmity or all infirmity we be gone with the wind. We look to the hill where our help comes from. No sickness we survive the hour, and no disease we stand the name of the Lord. And all infirmities will be gone with the wind. We look to the hills where our help comes from. We call on Jesus. We call on Jesus. We call on Jesus. We look to the hills where our help comes from. We call on Jesus. We call on Jesus. Is the name above all names. We look to the hills. Demonstration of the Spirit of power.
read those signs to yourself again and tell yourself, I'm walking in power. I'm walking in power. These hands are the hands of Jesus. They cast out devils. They heal the sick. Nearby or far away, the power of God is transmitting through me. No sickness. We survive the hour. And no disease. We stand the name of the Lord. All infirmities we be gone with the wind. We look to the east, where our help comes from. No sickness. We survive the hour. And no disease. We stand in the name of the Lord. All infirmities, all strange situations, we be gone with the wind. We look to the hills, where our help comes from. We call on Jesus. Can we hold ourselves? We call on Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a name above all names. We look to the years where help comes from. We call on Jesus. We receive power. Lambano, we take of it. We call on Jesus. He's the name above all names. We look to the hills where our help comes from. And we minister with this. We look to the hills where our help comes from. We look to the hills. All infirmities will be gone with the wind. We look to the hills. Oppression survives this hour, and every walk of darkness can stand in the name of Jesus. Every impossibilities will be gone with the wind. We look to the hills, our help comes from. No oppression can stand this hour. Every walk of darkness, no walk of darkness can stand in the name of Jesus. Every impossibility will be gone with